In the name of the one who creates and redeems and sustains. The word above that we just heard in John's gospel, as in you must be born from above, is the Greek word anothen, which has multiple layers of meaning. It can mean born again, born anew, and born above. Nicodemus is focusing his questioning on the understanding of being born again. How is it that you can be born again from your mother's womb? And Jesus' response is emphasizing the layer of meaning that has to do with above, being born from above. Hear Eugene Peterson's translation from the Message. Jesus said, "Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." How can anyone, said Nicodemus, be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above by the wind of God, by the Spirit of God." Again, that's Eugene Peterson's translation. In other words, to become who we are created to be, children of the living and loving God, which is our potential and our divine birthright and inheritance through Christ, we must first have a human birth. We must come into this earth through our mother's wombs with a watery birth that creates the container, the vessel, the earthen jar of our identity, our earthly identity. But, and, we must also, in order to grow into the beings we were created to be, have another birth, on a constant rebirthing through the Spirit, that same power that birthed and is birthing creation. Now, for Nicodemus, this is nothing less or more than radical. Let's take a few moments to linger on Nicodemus. Nicodemus means, his name means conqueror of the worlds, conqueror of the worlds. And by virtue of his earthly birth and what he has inherited and been born into, he is a conqueror of the world. He has risen to a place of prominence, position, power, privilege, respect. He is a teacher of the law. He has inherited the law from Moses and the prophets, and he is now a well-respected, powerful leader in his community. And yet, he finds himself seeking Jesus in the middle of the night, under cover of the night, not wanting to be seen by his colleagues, seeking Jesus. One commentator describes that Jesus, when he stayed in Jerusalem, usually stayed on the Mount of Olives and camped out. He wasn't staying in a home. So picture Nicodemus, the well-respected, powerful leader, sneaking under cover of night to see Jesus by campfire, camp light. There's that fear of being seen, but there's also the metaphorical seeking in the dark, being lost, seeking light, seeking truth, seeking something more. This is so relatable, I think, and I feel, because how many of us also find ourselves seeking, regardless of what we've been born into by virtue of our human births, or perhaps even more because of what we have been born into? How many of us also, like Nicodemus, are seeking the more that we know exists beyond the limited egoic stories and containers of our personal biographies and narratives, what we've inherited by virtue of our earthly birth into any given family or tribe or community or nation? Here is Peter's story. "I'm a child of apartheid," Peter writes. Born when the nationalist government, the architects of apartheid, had been in power for almost a decade. I arrived when there had been just enough time to alter the social structures of society in favor of whites like me at the expense of other races, who were the majority in South Africa. Peter goes on to write, "My education, social, and familial formation all taught me I was better than other people, that I would be expected to take a position of leadership in society when I grew up." It was called baaskap in Afrikaans for baas ship. Being a child of apartheid, a well-trained baas, it has been transformational and traumatic to have to learn to live as a minority in a nation now legitimately governed by the majority, who for 40 years were conquered and silenced by the people of my culture and complexion. Then he goes on to write, "My greatest joy in serving post-apartheid and still mainly white congregations," he's a pastor, "has been to see the previously powerful conquerors compassionately serving the communities of poor and dispossessed, that silent, suffering majority of South Africans whose own leaders are unable or unwilling to care for them. Despite the fact that the power wheel has turned full circle, the little people that Jesus came to seek and save are still invisible to the conquerors of nations in South Africa, Libya, Zimbabwe, and I suppose everywhere." And he concludes, "I, as white, privileged, powerful boss, have not only had to go back to school, I have had to be rebirthed. In the dark night of dispossession, I have had to learn my incarnation was never intended to extend and maintain illegitimate power, prestige, and privilege. I've had to be rebirthed by grace to be a reincarnation of the homeless, powerless rabbi of Nazareth. A daily process, slow but sure, like a seed growing in the depths of my being, but by grace it will also fruit in new life for others." Peter's words and testimony of knowing and then living into this experience of more than what Peter was born into and inherited, that was not the whole story, that was not God's story. What I am living now isn't the whole truth, it is partial. Our stories of power and privilege, it turns out, need not define us. Our stories of dispossession and marginalization need not define us. Our stories of trauma and loss, our stories of addiction, disease, dysfunction, and depression need not define us. Individually, collectively, our families, our city, there is more, Jesus shows. We are more. There is healing. There is wholeness. The way the word salvation has to do with healing and wholeness. Jesus says in the 10th chapter of John, I have come so that you might have abundant life, abundant life. But you and I and we must be born again from above, through spirit, from a higher consciousness, not the lower consciousness of survival, but the higher one of thriving, not the lower consciousness of scarcity, the higher one, the spirit-filled one of abundance, not the lower consciousness of isolation, the higher consciousness of connectedness, not the lower consciousness of separation, the higher one of oneness. We must be born again from above. But the Spirit blows where it will. It is not to be controlled, not to be tamed, not to be bent to our own egoic, selfish desires and intentions. To say yes, to be willing to be born again from above, from the Spirit, a higher consciousness, is saying yes to begin a journey whose destination we do not know and cannot control. And yet it is promised it will be more, it will be whole, and it will be one of healing and restoration and redemption. A new creation, a new Jerusalem, Revelation. As many of you know, I am just recently back from my own pilgrimage of going deeper into my own story of my earthly roots, going back to the land where my parents were born and where my ancestors came from, the Philippines. And it had been over 30 years since I had been back. And I learned so many things and had a chance to revisit other stories, including the one of my mother, who was born in a small village, safe village, in the middle of World War II as the Japanese military was invading the Philippines. It turns out the name of the village where she was born is called Alakapan. Alakapan, which means throwaway, a throwaway village. And my mother coming here as a young 20-something, knowing in her heart there is more to my story. I've been reflecting a lot on my own heritage. What does it mean to be Filipino? What does it mean to be Filipino-American? This blend of East and West. What does it mean to come from a people whose national identity was forged by virtue of colonial occupation by Spain? Prior to Spain, the Philippines was an archipelago of over 7,000 islands with different dialects and language. And then Spain came in and made Tagalog the national dialect and brought in Roman Catholicism. What does that mean that I have been born into this? And how is God inviting me to continue to be reborn again from above? I struggled when I went back to the Philippines to interact with folks in my family's household who are domestic help. We have inherited the legacy of domestic help from our Spanish colonizers, many of the help having darker skin. What is that about? And I remember the conflict I used to have with my mom. She wanted me to wear sunblock all the time growing up and put on a hat. And it wasn't just because she wanted to prevent me from having skin cancer as I grew up. It was because she had inherited the story that to have darker skin was somehow less than. Because if you had darker skin, it meant you were out and poor and working in the fields. If you had lighter skin, you were mestiza of more of the ruling class of the Spaniards. I hated wearing sunblock. I hated having to wear hats. And there was something in me that also, I know, rebelled against all that because I knew there is something more. there is something more. What does it mean for you to be born anew and from above, born through a lens of higher consciousness, reborn through the Spirit, that the view of humanity that you were born into is just part of the story and not all of it? Where does this journeying of mind, heart, and spirit lead you and lead me? As you wrestle, I've come to this understanding that maybe the reason I care so much about East and West Baltimore as part of my hometown is I don't want to pass on to the next generation the same city that I inherited. It must be born anew. We must be born anew from above. We are in the second weekend of Lent. How might you use this time of preparation for Easter to delve into your own human birth story, your own stories of earthly origin? Spend some time digging into it and wrestling with it, understanding both its gifts and its limitations, how it might be partial in terms of who you were created to be, ultimately to be, and what is your spirit birth story? How is that revealing itself? How is it unfolding? We will see and hear from Nicodemus two more times in John's Gospel. In chapter 7, we will hear and see Nicodemus coming to Jesus' defense in front of the Pharisees and others who would condemn him. And then in chapter 19, we will hear and see Nicodemus for the last time, helping Joseph of Arimathea with Jesus' body as he's taking it down from the cross in full daylight, having carried a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing about 75 pounds. That's the last time we see Nicodemus in John's Gospel. From a clandestine nighttime seeker in the dark to a broad follower of Jesus in daylight. What process did Nicodemus engage in to be able to arrive at that place? What practices did he engage in? How did he wrestle with his scripture that he had inherited in a new way, with new lenses, hearing Jesus' voice as commentator? May we, like Nicodemus, be willing to seek Jesus and to follow. May we be willing to open ourselves ever and anew to being reborn from above. And may this time of Lent be a journeying to the new life that is Easter. Amen.